So we're doing a quick overview of the laws of meat and milk. We just introduced who the Chochmat Adam was. And I'm quickly summarizing what he says into English. Being that meat and milk are each permissible to be eaten separately, and we're accustomed to eating them. It's not like eating pork or eating non-kosher food. Meat and milk, when combined, are non-kosher. But separately, we each have them in the fridge. We do eat meat and milk separately. So Chazal were more concerned that if you have both of them lying there before you, you'll take a bite of your cheese sandwich, or you'll take a gulp of your cup of milk, and then take a bite of your son's hot dog. If you have them both on the table at the same time, you're more apt to eat both of them. And sometimes you're serving. One kid is taking hot dogs, and the other kid is still eating his cereal with milk. So what can happen? A person could end up putting his... he could take some of his cheese and put it in the same pot with the soup that has boiling meat in it. And then you could have a situation that the meat and the milk even cook together, and it's biblically prohibited. It's not so far-fetched. People sometimes put in cheese into their soups. A person might take his leftover cheese and just dump it into the soup, not realizing that that soup has meat in it. So our sages said, you're not allowed to put meat and milk on the table at the same time. And being that our sages said that about the meat of animals, which is biblically prohibited with milk, our sages expanded it to the meat of fowl, of birds, even though there, the prohibition of eating chicken or bird meat with milk is rabbinic. So our sages said that even if you have two people who know one another, and even though they might be careful not to take from one another, meaning they're not necessarily on such good terms like a husband and wife or like two kids, where they could easily swap. Let me taste your sandwich. Let me taste your sandwich. And this one's eating a cheese sandwich and that one's eating a salami sandwich. Chazal said even in a situation where they're not that friendly, but they know one another, they're not supposed to be sitting on one table, this one eating meat and that one eating milk, unless they put something that will make a sign between them to recognize that we're eating something different. One of the things we do is we each eat on a separate tablecloth. Sometimes you take the tablecloth off half the table, and those that are eating meat or milk will eat directly on the table, and the other ones will eat on their tablecloth. You're doing a delineation, or you put something in between, something that you're not using during the meal. You can't take the salt shaker that you're using during the meal and say, this is the sign. You cannot take the jug which you're using during the meal and say, this is the sign between us. But you can take a jug which you're not using between them, or a loaf of bread which you're not eating from. You could put them there and say, this is a sign between us. We shouldn't come to take from one another. I who's eating milk and you who's eating meat, or vice versa. So you could also take a lamp if by day you're accustomed to turning on a lamp. So you could put a lamp on the table and that would be a sign between us. You could take a hammer. You could take something which is going to stand there and be a sign between us that's unnatural to be on the table. And that'll remind us not to take from one another. If you're eating alone and you have milk on the table, and that sometimes happens, the kids leave leftover cereal on the table and you're eating meat. The kid's eating yogurt and you're eating meat. He left his yogurt behind and you're eating meat. So there's something milkic on the table and you're eating meat. Or if you're there with family members who are eating milk, so of course you have to be careful. Part of being careful is that we don't share the same bread. People sometimes have grease on their fingers. All of you have grease from your pizza now on your fingers. If you would take some bread, you would leave over grease from that cheese on the bread, and then someone shouldn't eat it who's eating meat. We don't share the same cup, because if you're eating meat and you're drinking from the cup, well, someone who's eating milk shouldn't drink from it, because sometimes some of the food gets stuck on the cup.
What about if you have you're eating meat and you are having a water bottle and you reseal the water bottle and then for later, and then you're having
let's wait, lad. You shouldn't share salt. Sometimes you have a bowl of salt. So I saw this in one yeshiva where they used the same bowl of salt. They'd leave it on the table from breakfast to lunch. Breakfast was milchik, lunch was fleishik. breakfast they had cheese to spread on their sandwiches, and then at lunch they were using the same salt. So it says clearly in Shulchan Aruch, you're not supposed to do that. Even if you don't know the other guy, but some of your milk remains in that salt when you dip your milchik bread or whatever. So if you have two people who are at an inn, you don't know one another. Sometimes you come to a restaurant, you come to the central bus station. They have those tables up there, upstairs by the cafeteria, where people put down food and eat. So if two people don't know one another, then each one could eat on two sides of the table. One's eating meat and the other one's eating milk, because they won't come to eat from one another. I think that today, maybe in certain societies, we have to be even more careful. Because what I see is that people are very friendly, and sometimes you could have two soldiers sitting at a table, they don't know one another, and they will share food with one another. People are more friendly than they were in the days of our sages. That's what I see. I see sometimes people can be super friendly with a total stranger who sits at their table. So if a person knows that he's like that, then he really has to put a delineation. If he's going to eat meat and the other guy's going to eat milk, or vice versa, and he knows he's apt to share his food and with someone else, so then he should put a delineation in that scenario too. Our sages said, again, this is rabbinic, that if a person ate meat, even if it was bird meat, fowl meat, yes, which technically it's only rabbinically prohibited to eat with milk, nonetheless, our sages said you cannot eat milk at the same meal, and we wait. The question is, what does that mean, don't eat milk at the same meal? So what's generally accepted is that we wait the time that people wait between meals, meaning in the summer, you have 6 hours between meals. People can eat lunch at 12, 1 o'clock and eat dinner at 7, 8 o'clock, 6, 7 o'clock. So the time that people ordinarily wait between meals is 6 hours in the summer. Now in the winter, in their days, people would go to sleep at sunset. There was much less time between their meals. But nonetheless, one understanding is that we wait the amount of time that we wait between meals, which is 6 hours, and it doesn't matter if it's summer or winter. You wait that time because that when you eat meat, meat gives off a flavor. Meat has oils and fats in it, and the flavor sticks around until 6 hours. It takes 6 hours to complete the digestion. And then even if you don't have any meat stuck between your teeth, you wait those 6 hours. And if that's the reasoning, then if someone was just chewing on meat in order to feed it to a baby, they didn't have Gerbers back in those days, they didn't have the baby food, so what they would do is they'd take the food and the mother would chew it, or the father would chew it and then give it to the baby. Still today we sometimes do that. So if someone's just chewing on meat in order to feed the baby, so then you wouldn't have to wait any time, because the meat that there, you didn't swallow any fats, you didn't the taste isn't going to stick around for 6 hours. So according to that understanding, you would not have to wait 6 hours. Others say, that's the second opinion is the Rambam's opinion, that the idea is that people get meat stuck between their teeth. And it takes 6 hours for the meat to decompose to the point where the meat is no longer classified as meat halachically. And according to that, if a person was chewing meat for a baby, so then he might get meat stuck between his teeth, and it'll take 6 hours for that meat to lose its halachic status as meat. And then, even in such a scenario, you'd have to wait 6 hours. And if you know you have meat stuck between your teeth, then you have to take out the meat between your teeth before you go and have a cup of coffee. Any scenario where you know you have meat stuck between your teeth, even though technically we say it no longer is classified as meat, but you gotta get a toothpick or something, get the meat out between your teeth. Again, when you know for sure there's meat stuck between your teeth. Now, today, we go with both opinions. We're stringent like both opinions. Meaning, if you ate meat and you didn't chew it, you got nothing stuck between your teeth. Or if you chewed meat and you didn't swallow it, in either case, we wait the 6 hours. After you remove the meat from between your teeth, you don't have to wait 6 hours. All you got to do is wash out your mouth. How do you wash out your mouth? So, you drink something, you chew on a piece of bread. After you cleared the meat, you just want to clean your mouth of all the oils. You chew on a piece of bread. You wash out your mouth or drink some water or something else. And that's how we clean out the mouth.
That's after 6 hours? That's after you waited for 6 hours?
That's when you took out meat from your, when you took out meat from between your teeth. Right. And you have to clean out your mouth.
In order to eat milk.
Correct. In order to eat milk.
Waited 6 hours. You've also done that because we're strict about that.
You wait 6 hours. You clean, and then if you know you have meat between your teeth, you take it out, and then you clean out your mouth.
And then what about tasting like a soup?
Oh, so what happens if you're only tasting a soup, or you're taking soup which has fats of the meat, but you're not eating the meat itself? So we say that that has the same halacha as eating the meat itself. You wait 6 hours. If you ate cheese, you don't have to wait. You could eat right afterwards meat. Now, you just have to make sure you have nothing left on your hands. Like we said, right now everyone has oil, fatty oils from the cheese on their hands. So everyone would have to wash their hands before they had some meat. And again, a person has to clean out his mouth because after eating cheese, there might be cheese stuff left in the mouth. So we clean it out the way we explained before. We wash our hands as well between milk and meat. If you eat cheese and you're going to eat meat, we wash our hands as well. Others say that when the Talmud said that you have to wait a meal, don't eat it at the same meal, what it means is you wait 1 hour. That's the time that you start digesting. That's the time between meals. You can't eat in one meal, meaning if you finished eating your meat and your wife cleared the table, or you cleared the table, right? And now your wife wants to serve a dessert or another course, which is milk. So that's what's prohibited. You have to bench and then wait the hour. Let's say you didn't bench. You're sitting at a wedding and the meal takes 3 hours, 6 hours long, right? So you can't eat milk at that meal. That's what Chazal said. At that meal, you shouldn't eat milk. So it doesn't matter how long it took till you hit benching. And you could say, but for the last 3 hours, I've been eating only bread. I haven't had any meat for 3 hours. Doesn't matter. It's still the same meal. So then you may not have milk until an hour after you bench. So where we could be lenient is to wait an hour after eating the meat and also bench. There he's willing to go with the lenient opinion that says that you wait the hour from the time you ate the meat. But you also have to have benched. It has to be a separate meal. Let's say a person ate meat and it wasn't at a meal where he has to bench. So we say you finished the meal when you made the after blessing. What happens if you found meat between your teeth after an hour? So then, according to this opinion, you have to clean out your mouth the way we discussed before. Most people have the minhag to wait the 6 hours, like we said. And there's also a custom that if a person eats hard cheese, that's cheese that they used to, that got wormy already, and then they cleaned out the worms, or cheese that was aged for 6 months, so then we don't eat afterwards meat. And our custom is that even if we ate something that was fleishik, we ate a fleishik soup, there's no meat there. So we don't eat something milchik, we wait 6 hours, and again, this is our custom that we wait 6 hours after benching, and he says, you're not supposed to go away from this is part of the minhag of Am Yisrael. What happens if there's no meat in the pot? You just took a fleishik pot, and you cooked in that pot a soup, so the soup really has no meat in it, you just cooked it in a meat dish. So then, even if you didn't clean out the pot well, you could eat milk right away afterwards. And there's no custom to be stringent, and that's our custom. We also eat meat right after eating a milchik dish, meaning if you ate lasagna, or you had cookies with milk, or you had a cheesecake, so we just wash our hands to make sure our hands are clean. But that's not considered eating cheese. The cheese was melted, the cheese was cooked. We eat meat right away. Now, even if after the milk, you're not going to eat meat directly, you're just going to eat a fleishik soup or a fleishik dish. Nonetheless, we wash our hands between the cheese dish and the meat dish, the milk dish and the meat dish. Now, what happens if you're just going to deal with the meat in the oven? Still, we say you ate a milk dish, wash your hands before you deal with the meat dish in the oven. And this goes in both directions, from meat to milk, from milk to meat. If a person is a little bit ill, so let's say a person has heartburn. So he's really suffering from his heartburn. So then there's room to be lenient. After 1 hour, he should clean out his teeth, take some floss, take a toothbrush, and wash out his mouth, eat something, drink something, and after an hour he can rely on that opinion. In circumstances where he's a little bit suffering, he's a little bit ill, either because he has heartburn or because sometimes a woman, when she's nursing, she's more sensitive and she needs to drink milk after eating meat. So then we say it's enough to wait 1 hour, clean out one's teeth, and wait an hour after benching, right? We bench and then we wait an hour after cleaning the teeth and cleaning out the mouth. If someone ate soft cheese or a person ate butter, and afterwards he wants to eat meat, so he has to remove the crumbs that are left on the table. Because we say that bread, chances are, it got oily from the fats of the meat. You're not allowed to eat cheese on a tablecloth where you ate meat. You're not allowed to eat meat on a tablecloth where you ate cheese and milchik. We separate. We have a tablecloth for dairy, a tablecloth for meat. We usually have a table, which the table is designated, that the table without a tablecloth is either dairy or meat. You're not supposed to cut cheese with a fleishik knife, even though the cheese is cold and the cheese isn't sharp. We don't use a fleishik knife for cutting dairy. We don't use a dairy knife for cutting meat. Now, if you have a situation where you have no other knife and you have to cut it, you went out on vacation, and you didn't realize you took your cheese knife with you, and you have to cut all the meat for Shabbos. What are you going to do? So in such a scenario where you're stuck and the food is cold, so then we say you can, if you clean the knife really, really well, then you can use it, even though you're using it for the other gender. You're using it for meat when it's a milk knife, provided it's cold. How do you clean it really well? So in the days of our sages, they didn't have steel wool. They didn't have scouring pads. They would stick it in the hard ground a few times to clean it off really well from all the oils and fats, and then they'd wash it off. Today, we have good soap, we have scouring pads, we have steel wool. So you clean it off really well with one of those and a soap. And then if a person's stuck and he has no other choice, so then you could use that knife. If you want to cut bread, so you just got to wipe off the knife well to make sure there's no fats on it. And then even if it's not a dire situation, you're allowed to use a meat knife or a milk knife to cut parve bread. Our custom is that we have separate knives for meat and milk. And the custom is also that we make a sign on those that are milk. Milchik knives get a sign on them. Some have the custom that the milchik knives are flat, and the fleishik knives have an engraving on them. The Chochmas Adam says that the custom is to make a sign on those that are milk. But I'm familiar with a different custom. There's also a custom that the cutlery that you buy that's milk is straight, it's flat, it's got no design on it. And the meat cutlery, which you use on Shabbos, has a design on it. But at any rate, we do delineate between our milk cutlery and our meat cutlery.